Yo, this is the Sneaker Podcast, Season 3, Episode 24. I am Christopher Chu, and right next to me I have Sean Collard.
What's up, Sean? What's up, guys?
So today is a special podcast day because we are only two.
Super special.
Super.
Like so special. Continuing with our mandate theme.
Yeah, yeah. This is the pre-mandate. The other guys were, again, Mike is still on his little vacay. Alex and Chloe had some prior engagements, so we decided still to get together and chit-chat a bit. There was also, like, Sean jumping onto the podcast. How many episodes is it now?
I don't even know. I think I've been here for most of this season, like season three.
Yes.
And it's our 24th. I don't know if I was in on... I was on a couple of handful of times before that, just as a guest.
Yes.
But I don't know. I think I may have been on the entire...
Season three?
I think so. Oh, okay. Something like that.
We'll check it out.
Yeah.
It's more to... I figured it was a good opportunity for us to get to know Sean a bit more. Also, I have some questions for the man because we actually only met maybe... a few months before you coming onto the podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Even though we have some past kind of connections.
Sort of, yeah.
Maybe we can start all the way in the past.
All the way, well, it's cool. Bring it all the way back, yeah.
So, or actually the first time you came onto my radar was when Cherry said, hey, check out this guy, Scholar23.
Yeah.
He's going to appear at the Jordan store as a panelist.
Right.
And I go...
here in Montreal.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm going, so he's from Montreal. She's like, yes. And I go, oh. So I clicked on your profile. And I go, oh, he's got tons of followers. And I looked at what you were posting, and it was all this old school stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, some of your posts were old school.
Most of it is, yeah, for sure.
And then I got drawn to some of your old basketball pictures. And the first thing I noticed was, I think it's...
The Quebec team?
Quebec team. Yes, so Quebec is the province where Montreal is in. And there's like a provincial team that they build every year to go compete, right?
Yeah, against other provinces, against in tournaments, I guess, against the states.
Yeah.
Teams in the states, yeah.
And the coach of that particular year was my high school coach.
Right.
So I was like, hey... that guy, Jacques Lebel, which is the coach, he coached him too. I go, oh. So I started backtracking the years to see if possibly we had played against each other in tournament
play. Right.
Right.
I think it's possible. I don't know. I think you're 2 years younger than me, maybe? You're
2 years younger. So I think we would have missed each other.
Maybe just missed each other, yeah.
But we probably have played in like same types of tournaments.
For
and
sure.
Again.
I'm sure our paths have crossed at some point. Yeah.
So our two schools were not in the same district.
Yeah.
But we knew of each other.
For sure.
Like the teams,
the teams,
right?
For sure. Ray Buff and John Rennie.
Yeah. So that's cool.
Yeah.
From there, I think I started following you then.
Yeah.
I think it was much too late. Like, I should have been following you.
Well, I was following you, I think, from your freaky first step days. Like,
yeah.
So, but we didn't, I can't remember how I came across your page, but I came across it somehow.
Okay, yeah.
And, so I knew of you, but we never really communicated until this Jordan Brand event.
And I was like, wow, this Montreal guy has tons of, like, when I mean... tons of followers. You were in the...
For a Montreal guy, I have tons of followers.
Yeah, no, for like a regular sneaker guy. You're in the 30s, right?
No, I'm at 20... almost 22, I think, now.
22. Okay, 22K.
Yes.
22,000 followers. So, at the time, I was like, "What? How come I had never heard of him before?"
Yeah.
So, I was like, okay. So, I started figuring out what you were doing on social media and such. And I go, oh, look, he got invited to the Jordan store opening. So... He must have some type of presence. Like, people know him.
Yeah, yeah. Which was weird to me, even to think that. People knew of me.
Wow. 22,000 followers.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Like, I don't know. I don't even know how that happened, really. It just kind of happened. Like, it was strange.
So...
It grew really fast.
If you go back in your timeline, can you tell... Was there something, an event that kind of boosted your...
Yes, I think I may have mentioned this before on one of the podcast episodes, but Jumpman Bostic in 2015 did 28 Days of Jays. His birthday is in February, just like Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
And so he did a whole month of post, like Jordan's 1 through 28, and each day of the month. And I joined in that little kind of campaign he was doing.
Uh-huh.
And so he took notice of me.
Yeah,
And one other guy. I'm not even sure if he's still around, Mr. J Star. I don't know if he's,
okay.
You know J Star?
Yes, I know J Star.
Okay,
I have a story.
He's a YouTuber, and he was actually the first person to ever give me a shout out. I tagged him and Jumpman Bostic.
Okay,
and he gave me a shout out, and I got like 200 followers from, and I was at like 26 followers at the time.
Okay,
so I went from 26 to 226, basically.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and then I just started to decide to. Start telling more of my backstory. So I have all these old pictures and stuff of me with my old Jordans, my original Jordans back in the 80s and 90s, and me playing and stuff. So that I thought I had a bit of a unique kind of perspective in that I actually had some of these old photos of the old shoes and and I documented a lot of stuff on video, which is crazy that I even have some of my shoes on video.
I find that very crazy, yeah.
So I guess that's where I started telling more stories, and that's what kind of put me on people's radar, I think. So then people started picking up on my page.
Huh.
Yeah.
And so, okay, let's go back to J-Star.
Yeah.
J-Star 25 on YouTube, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Back in the day, I was looking for legit checks.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, page or that website, didn't he?
Well, I would search on eBay for particular sneakers, and or I'd be getting ready to meet up with someone to buy a pair of shoes off them, and before I go meet up, I always prep myself in terms of legit checking,
sure,
so that on the spot I can pinpoint several spots of the shoe quickly to determine whether they're real or not. And I started researching and I fell upon J-Star 25,
right.
And he's doing this. How to tell if a Jordan 3 is fake, how to tell if a Jordan 6 is fake. Right. So I'd watch all these, and from there, I just started watching all of his videos.
Yeah.
And I find he helped me a lot in terms of, okay, I need to educate myself.
Yeah.
And not just buy shoes
willy-nilly. Randomly,
And to this day, I still subscribe to him on YouTube.
Yeah.
Because I find that he is one of the first people to push me to get more informed.
Very cool. Yeah. He's a good guy. I think his taste has really changed over the years. He was a bit more of a Jordan centric kind of guy, and now which is cool. He does pretty much, I think, any kind of shoe that moves him. But he also. I think he had a lot of his shoes stolen, which is, I don't know, we're getting off topic here, but he had his whole collection was stolen at one point, so I felt bad for that. But anyway, yeah, very cool guy, and also still subscribe, and so it's funny that there's that little, another connection.
That's why I'm like, it's for people out there that are afraid to legit check, yes, it's a tricky, sometimes it's like a do or die type situations, but if you educate yourself, then at a certain point you might feel comfortable enough to legit check.
Like, for sure.
It's always trickier when other people are asking you to legit check and off your word.
Yeah.
So I'll legit check stuff, but I'll say get like a second opinion always before going through with
it. For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think we jumped the gun and we didn't even go through our what did you wear today.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay. what did you wear today? Did you wear anything today?
Yeah, I wore some White Cement 3s
to
go pick up the kids.
Right.
Aside from that, in the office, because it's like blazing hot
crazy.
Montreal.
I think a lot of the East Coast is feeling this crazy
heat. I'm wearing fly knits.
Oh, nice.
So that's my regular wear. Yeah.
I went super cool and we're running some errands today and wore some Jordan 6 in the Olympic colorway, which is not cool at all. I don't mean cool like in they're dope. I mean cool like they're not cool at all. They're
and very tonight hot. You're wearing...
And tonight I'm wearing the Olympic 7s.
Yeah.
Well, since it's July 4th, we're recording this on July 4th, so... Yeah. I figure that's a little nod to my American family and friends. And
I used to do that. I don't have any more red, white, and blue sneakers.
Oh, you don't? Anymore. Okay.
I don't. Oh, wait. I have a pair of Converse Wade.
Oh, there you go.
In red, white,
and blue. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Next year.
Yeah, well, but like no one notices here. No, and I was like, that's so wasted.
But you would know. You see, you know. Yeah. Yeah. So I wore my Olympic sixes to do some run errands today, and then I wore my 2004 Olympic sevens to come here.
It's a good combo. I am not. Jordan 7 is not my speed.
No. Okay.
Jordan 6, yes. Mm-hmm. Jordan 7, no. But out of all the Jordan 7s, the Olympic is a colorway that I do appreciate up to a certain point, and the point is when they retroed it too many times.
Mm-hmm.
They've retroed this one several times.
Yeah.
And I think one year they even did the what for the love of the game.
Yeah, they put like a logo,
like a heart type of
heart or something. Yeah,
which kind of, and that was really close to another one of their releases. So all this to say that Jordan 7 is not my thing. So did you pick anything up last week?
No pickups this week. No.
I don't know what it is. I think I slowed down too. I couldn't concentrate too much on like picking up new sneakers because of the heat.
Yeah,
you know, even I don't know if you paid attention to this, but there's a store called Essence Montreal.
Yes,
they had their new location open up, and then they had like a really cool pop up with Virgil Abloh.
Yeah,
that came into town.
Huge lineup. I saw.
I think it started the night before at 4:30 p.m. Mm-hmm. Some people lined up. And he was there signing Nike sneakers, right? With his signature and like putting some graphics on it. Yeah, quotation marks and a lot of stuff. And I'm not quite sure, but I think you were able to buy like pairs of from the 10 pack.
Right. Oh wow.
I thought it was just some like white Nike sneakers, like some Air Force Ones and some Jordans and whatnot that he would just sign with like markers.
Mm-hmm.
But then I saw some people posting the stories with like some off-white sneakers.
Okay.
I don't know if that was the whole theme. I would have considered going because it was a huge event.
Yeah.
If not for the heat.
The heat it's ridiculous.
Like to be out there for like overnight in this type of heat is insane. So
for our Canadian listeners, it's like 44 degrees. For American listeners, it's like 113 degrees. It's crazy.
It was insane. So, but something very cool from Montreal, I find.
Yeah.
I wish I had, like, I know some people that are, like, close to the store, so they were able to get in without lining up. Oh, that would have been
That would have been good. So, no pickups for me. Anything for you or nothing for you?
So, nothing for me per se, but actually, Chloe, Alex, and I did go last week across the border. We did mention it last podcast. And so we did go. We did pick up our sneakers. And on the way back, it was great. We declared the exact value that we had in the car, which was about $270 Canadian.
Total
for the three of us. So $90 a pop.
Yeah.
Right? And they just let us through.
Really?
We didn't have to pay customs or anything.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. So
it's always a bonus when you get the
It's a bonus. We were very happy.
That's a win right
there. Yeah. So it was fun. It was a cool story. Yeah. But yeah. That, and I did finally go through the process of picking up my package from UPS.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So UPS was going to deliver a pair of Cactus Jack to me. But I wanted to go through the process of self-accounting the customs. So I went through that whole process. It's actually pretty convenient because there's a customs office 10 minutes from my work.
Wow.
Or walking distance.
Wow, that's great.
10 minutes walking. That's so it was helpful. Fine. That was great.
And you save a ton of customs fees, right? Like you said it was going to be like $100 for...
So I think it depends on the customs agent that you get.
Really?
They may charge you the proper value of the package coming in,
mm-hmm.
depending on where the item was manufactured.
Okay.
Right? So there's that. If they do that, then customs is pretty high on sneakers, because most of them are produced in Asia.
Yeah.
And I think the rate is 18%.
Oof.
Yeah. And then they charge you taxes.
And taxes on top of that.
But all in all, pretty smooth whole transaction type to do. So it will not be the last time that I clear customs on my own. So
it's worth it enough to do it again.
Yeah, and it's also, I don't know, it's a weird sense of accomplishment.
For sure. Yeah, especially if you're going to save some money on it.
Yeah, and to just, you know, do a bit of legwork to you know.
I've gotten smashed by customs before, like just killed. So just to know that, I didn't even know that was an option to be able to go.
Yeah. And do that, it's pretty cool.
So I'll definitely do that in the future.
And especially now, most of this stuff can be done through email and over the phone.
Right.
And like my local UPS warehouse is 5 minutes from my house.
Mm.
So on my way home, I was able to pick up the package.
Oh, that's great.
So that's great. So yeah, Cactus Jack, I showed
you. Yeah, we are sitting next to a pair of Cactus Jacks.
Yeah.
Very nice.
And you mentioned...
Well, I've heard a lot of negative reviews in terms of the quality. Even people who like them said they were surprised that the one thing is that the quality wasn't great.
Yeah.
Whether it's glue stains or the quality control issues, but the actual quality of the materials wasn't great. But I actually think they're really nice. And there's someone selling them on Facebook right now for $60 over
retail.
So
that's not bad at all.
It's not too bad. I'll think about it. I'm not sure.
That's like putting in time to wait in line.
Yeah.
To get them,
exactly.
Plus shipping, let's say,
it's not bad at all. Especially seeing what they're going for elsewhere. That's why I'm kind of, speaking of legit checking, I'm kind of concerned that they might be fake. I'll have to check that out sometime.
Yeah, check it out.
Yeah.
I actually did also receive a pair of New Balance.
Right.
It's the new 247 model, the V2 they were calling it. So the 247 came out for the first time. It debuted last year, and they have a version 2 of the shoe this year. It's I got a dark gray charcoal-ish with a bit of yellow on the heel colorway. It's pretty nice. This pair was sent to me from Foot Locker Canada, so shout out to Foot Locker Canada. There's a couple of pictures on my Instagram and also on the Bag Affair. It's a comfy shoe. It's a good do everything type of shoe. So, which is basic. It was not planned, but this is basically the purpose of the 247.
Yeah.
Sounds like 24/7.
Right.
It's for lifestyle, and sport crossing over.
Very nice.
So, yeah.
Nicely done, New Balance.
So, yeah. So, shout out to New Balance Canada and Foot Locker Canada for that. I also got an email today.
Uh-oh.
So I actually prefer speaking about pickups when I have them in hand or about to get them in hand.
Right.
But this is an email from it's a PR agency that handles should I tell the people? Fuck, I already started. Yeah. they handle Levi's.
Oh no.
They handle the Levi's account.
Yeah.
So not the Jordan account.
Yeah.
But they do have the clothing associated to the Jordan times Levi's collabo.
Oh man.
So they just confirm my address.
Oh.
Which is very cool.
That is very cool.
And I don't know what it is. Only be one of two things, right?
Yeah.
It's Jordan times Levi's jacket. I'm hoping. I don't want to jinx it. But
man, that's great.
Possibly.
Yeah.
So we'll follow up on this.
Yeah. Can we continue?
Yeah. Possibly next week.
Yeah.
And when I do get those emails, though, I have to start processing right away. Like, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
Like, how am I going to take a photo of this?
Right. That's where your mind goes right to how am I going to take a photo of this, right?
How am I going to take a photo of this?
Yeah.
To thank them
for the package, right? Make it look as best as possible.
So it's a nice thing. We'll see how it goes. And also, you know, how hot it is outside,
exactly.
Whether I can put it on or not.
Yeah,
but yeah, it should be good.
Yeah, for sure.
Should be fun. Well, speaking of the Levi's, right, I've seen tons of people...
Yeah.
Picked up their pairs.
Yeah.
It's a nice shoe.
Dude, did you like the white one or the black one better?
Black.
Both? Black, yeah. I'm black too.
But white, like I would love either pair because the white is very funky.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to wear them...
They'll stand out.
Yes.
For sure.
And denim.
Yeah, I know.
Denim is good.
Yeah.
Would you... So I've seen a lot of this going on as well. People just rocking their Levi's Jordan 4s, but also customizing them.
Yeah, I saw a lot of that.
Washing out the denim. Distressing
them. And
and even like splattering them with some dye.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think I would do that.
You would go I'd OG, leave
it
as right?
Yeah. I'm worried I would mess it up.
That's my fear. Yeah. I'm not talented enough make it into something. Yeah. Like, even have an image of what I want in my head, I don't have that yet.
No, exactly. Yeah. And it's a lot of money to just take a chance and it might look okay and maybe not.
And so, in the same vein, Jordan 1 Lance Mountain.
Yeah.
Right? Where the upper paint rubs off through wear, and you can create your own design.
Yeah.
Did you like that?
I like the idea. Yeah. Again, I don't know what I would do with it.
Okay.
I think I would rub it all off and just have the actual colors underneath.
Yeah. So I'm actually considering getting a pair, the black one, not the white one, the black one, and to keep it as pristine as possible. And if it gets scuffed, it gets scuffed, that's my normal
natural way. Natural kind of artistic expression.
So since we didn't pick anything up this week, or hardly, do you have anything in your watch list?
Yes.
Or something this upcoming?
Saturday. Oh. This Saturday, something's coming out. Those Hyper Royal ones are coming out. I want those.
Oh, you want them?
I am going to get them. Our friend Sam Tabak is releasing them, and I've already asked them if they're getting them in. And so, yes, they are, and I'm going to head over there on Saturday.
How do you determine whether you need them or not? So this is not an OG colorway.
No. I don't know. Sometimes the colorway just speaks to me.
Okay.
And I really like the all blue with the white swoosh.
It's clean.
I want to put the white laces in it, or the sail laces, I guess, they're sail with it.
Yeah.
I like that little bit of contrast.
Yeah.
But yeah, just there's something about the... I remember I remember back in the day I had the all red with white swoosh Air Flight 89s.
Okay.
I still have them, actually. But I remember someone playing for a team here called St. Bruno.
Yes.
And he had the blue pair. They were all blue with the white swoosh.
Yeah.
I remember always wanting them. And there was a retro that was similar to them back in 2000 that I got. But I remember it's just that they flashed me back to that kind of the Air Flight 89s from back in the day.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah.
Okay, I get them.
Yeah.
I also want them.
And?
Mainly because they are a Jordan 1 and the leather looks of good quality. Mm. And I don't know if you get this feeling sometimes when you're looking at a shoe that the leather seems thicker.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
This one seems of that.
Yeah.
Where there's, if you press it or if you hold the leather, it feels like it's higher grade.
Substantial leather. Yeah.
Substantial.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
So that's why I want it. But I do believe I'm going to wait it out and get them later.
That's always, there's someone, my friend Habib in Toronto, who I'll give him a shout out, but he goes by
S dot.
Yeah. I always get most confused by his username. It's H dot S dot, right?
H dot, like spelled out. H-D-O-T.
Right, H dot S dot.
S-D-O-T.
Yes, that's it. He always, threatens me that he's gonna fight me if I don't wait for a sale, because he's like... He always waits for a sale, and he always ends up getting them on sale. And I'm always Mr. First Day for some reason.
Yeah,
I'm always worried somehow I'm going to miss out.
Uh-huh.
And I can't seem to let go of that feeling.
I get that.
I know the first time I listen to him and wait for a sale, I'm going to miss out, and then I'll be pissed off.
And you'd be pissed off at him.
Yeah.
So me, recently, I've been able to pick up older pairs at either very good price to below retail price. Slightly worn, so I think because of that, I'm feeling more comfortable letting this one.
I agree. Pass. I think these ones will go on sale, but I had this itch to buy something.
It's not even whether they'll go on sale or not.
You're just gonna wait.
I think there's a time for me to wait for this one.
Okay.
Like, I don't need to jump. It's it's come to the point where I'm trying to be strategic with stuff.
I see.
So I'm gonna let this one slide for now, and let's say, comparably, the Game Royal Jordan 1, I let that one slide too, then started really regretting it.
Yeah.
And eventually found it.
Right. So it can always work out for sure, but I've had this huge itch for the past week to really buy something.
Buy something.
It's not like I've never purchased
When's
a shoe
the
before,
last
but...
time you bought something?
Well, I purchased something, but then the order got canceled, right? Well, so that was the last... That's why I've been itching since then to... I feel like I haven't gotten my fix. So hopefully I'll get it this weekend.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else?
That's it for now. There's the... He got... Even though I hate the nickname, He Got Game. The He Got Game 13 is coming up in August. That's
right.
That's, I think, the next one I want.
Okay. They released them recently as well.
Yeah. And yeah, and I have those as well, but I want them.
Ooh, dang. Do you wear them? Do you have a pair that you wear?
Yeah, I have a pair. I have the pair from the countdown pack that I wear. Yeah. But I've only worn a handful of times.
I would definitely get a pair of those to play in.
Yeah.
I'm actually looking for a pair of... We're playing weekly now during the summer, and I'm looking for other basketball shoes, and I'm missing a current Jordan shoe to wear.
Have you thought about the 32s, right?
32 yeah. lows. I think that's what's gonna happen.
Yeah, and they're on sale at the outlet, so
I'll see. But I really like there's a free throw line colorway of the Jordan 32.
Yeah.
Low.
Yes.
But that one is more expensive than the others.
I know, it's not going on sale for some reason.
So it
was on sale on Nike.ca for $150.
Ah.
But there's no sizes left.
Gotcha.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so now I'm going to wait.
It's the only place I've ever seen it on sale before.
I'm just going to wait.
Yeah, yeah, you'll find it.
It'll come up. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you want to get back to our history?
Yeah, for sure. Sure. Yeah, I like this.
Okay.
Because like you're saying, I didn't want to cut you off there, but like you're saying, like you found out more about me at kind of late in the game, and I find very late. Yeah, and yeah. I know a bit about you from being on the pod for a little while, but I don't know much about your history either. So
yeah, well, what do you want to know?
Well, how did it obviously you played basketball.
Yeah,
is that where your love of sneakers came in, or was that more like? Later on?
That kind of happened concurrently with me developing a love for sneakers.
Mm-hmm.
I always remember my dad getting sneakers and me just taking them from him.
Okay.
It was a big thing for me to get sneakers from the United States.
Yes.
So I found it very cool to somehow get something knowing that it wasn't bought in Montreal.
I had that same experience growing up. I loved buying a pair of shoes in the States.
I think there's also... So, I brought you a Kicks magazine when you walked in.
Yeah.
So Slam magazine, Kicks magazine, they used to put out... well, they still do. They put out this special edition of their magazine where it's just sneakers, right? Mm-hmm. That and the East Bay catalog.
Yeah.
I would just order it, just the catalog.
Just to look at the sneakers.
Just to look at the sneakers. And I would do a game where I would flip the page, and I go, every page I'm allowed to pick two pairs.
Oh, man, that's fun.
Right? So I flip, I pick two pairs, and I move on.
This is all by yourself, by the way.
All by myself, alone in my room.
Yeah,
that's,
yeah, yeah.
That's what would be going
that's
on.
Amazing.
And I would do that, and I found this brand called N1.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And at the time, they had just signed Stephon Marbury.
Right.
Right? This was one of their first signees.
Yeah, I remember that.
This was before the N1 mixtapes, too, which how they got really popular. But
yeah.
So N1 was a brand, it was just purely basketball. Mm-hmm. And I like their slogan was in the ways of, if you're not playing hard, don't wear our shoes.
Yeah, that was cool.
Type of vibe,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So I was like, well, that's cool. Mm. And I would actually go across the border and look for N1 sneakers, and I'd bring some back, and I had a shoe called the Stutter Step, the Marbury,
the first Marbury. Yeah, yeah.
And I'd wear them, and I wore them to the ground.
Yeah.
And some of my teammates would recognize, yo, that, you know, you're the guy that got the sneakers across the border. So
oh,
I'm like,
man.
Yeah, I like
oh,
that
yeah,
feeling,
yeah, for
right?
For sure, yeah.
That's kind of like how I connected basketball and sneakers.
Okay.
But I think I've said this before, I only started getting really serious, and it was about the same time that I discovered JSTAR 25,
yeah.
That I joined Soul Collector Forums, and I started, you know, educating myself on...
Which is
like,
what, like mid-2000s?
2010.
2010, okay,
yeah.
Okay. So, yeah.
2010 is when I joined Soul Collector, and... Through that, I just really got involved in the forums, and different threads, Adidas, Adidas basketball, Jordan threads, and then what did you wear threads, and there's like, oh, people are taking photos of their shoes, and I would post photos of my shoes. You know, you take them with your point and shoot camera or your phone. And I'd post them, and I'd always be like, why aren't people commenting on my picture more, you know?
So it fueled you.
It fueled me, and I met a bunch of guys that really were more about, like, helping each other out and stuff like that. So my sense of community comes from that.
Okay.
My sense of wanting to showcase my sneakers kind of came from that, too. 2012, Instagram comes into play.
Yeah.
I was like, let me try this out.
Yeah.
I post a photo. My first photo was of the Air Penny 2.
Oh, wow.
Atlantic colorway. Yeah.
Okay.
So, or Orlando.
Yeah.
It was the black blue, right?
So, yeah.
So I posted that, and, you know, of course, 16 likes or something. And I was like, okay, this, double digit this is likes. Cool. But I found it difficult to take a picture of my own shoe.
Yeah.
Right? As they were on my feet.
Right.
And from there, I just started, how do I do this?
Okay.
So that...
So it really was more of a, like, a photographer. You want to learn how to become, like, a really solid photographer. Like, take really solid photographs of your shoes. Like, that is that kind of what made you... That there was, like, a transition from just being a sneaker guy to, I really want to learn how to best take... Or take the best photo of my shoes. Well,
okay, there was that. There was also once... I think I've told the story as well. I found a pair of sneakers, a pair of samples in an outlet.
Right.
I posted them on Soul Collector. They actually took my photos to write an article about it.
Wow.
So I was like, wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
And I go, look at that. I'm a guy from Montreal. And people were like, different blogs were taking them. My photo as well. And all my buddies on Soul Collector was like, look at you, man. You're like,
blowing up.
And I'm like, oh, that's cool. And at the time, I knew a guy on Soul Collector that was doing YouTube videos, and he was getting a lot of traction on Twitter and stuff. Like, he became something on Twitter, like, in the sneaker culture.
Yeah.
Like, people would refer to him, and I was like, oh, that's cool. That's a cool feeling. Yeah. And that, with the sneaker photography was also a thing where it'd be like, hey, Sean, how do you want people to take photos of sneakers? When you look at a photo of a sneaker online, what angle do you prefer seeing?
I prefer seeing the side of the shoe.
The full profile on the side, right? So my favorite angle is if you do that, but tilt the shoe slightly so you get not only the side view, but a bit of the front and the front of the tongue.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
And there, if you look at that, but pan slightly upwards or downwards. Yeah. Sorry, you pan downwards. You're pretty down. And so you're basically looking down at the shoe from the corner.
Right, right, right.
So that's what I like.
Very cool.
So when I take my photos, I want to show you that.
Mm-hmm. You want to show you what you... That your perspective, exact angle. What you love. Yeah.
That's how I started.
Yeah.
And then came figuring out how I could take that photo myself. Like, without having someone take the photo for me.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of bending over going happening, and then I was like, "Yeah, this is a bit cumbersome. So let me try to figure out how I could set my phone somewhere."
Yeah.
While it took the photo for me,
and you never went the selfie stick route.
No, selfie sticks weren't a big thing back then. Okay. Right.
Right.
So I always had this idea of, hey, what if I made like a piece of plastic the size of a credit card that had panels that could fold out like a transformer and become a like a stand.
A portable stand, yeah.
And I was like, wait, there's actual plastic that exists that I can build shit on my own called Lego.
Right.
So I took some Lego pieces. I randomly went to Toys R Us and I looked. Yeah, well, not for Canada.
All right, not for Canada. That's right, so they're about to... sorry.
No, it's cool. Toys R Us.
Lego,
and I'm looking at this kit. It's for, like, cars and trucks. I'm like, these look like they have a lot of moving pieces, like flaps, right? So I'm like, let me take this. And I bought that, and I was like, yes, they have the exact pieces I need for feet that would fold out.
Wow.
Arms that would hold the phone and actually allow me to tilt my phone.
Wow.
In a particular way. So I bought that. I got good at setting the timer, tapping the screen, and knowing what distance I need to stand at take the photo.
That's crazy.
And so my shtick was taking the side view and including a lot of background.
Yeah.
And from there, that's how I stood out, because I always figured that for me to get somewhere with sneaker photography, I needed to stand out, have a little signature move.
And that's your goal, though. Your goal is to stand out as a photographer. I mean, you take amazing, incredible photos.
Thank you.
Yeah, but my pleasure.
The goal is
that is smoke going up your butt.
Yes. Thanks, man. That's that heat.
As if it's not hot enough in here.
The goal is to show you something that you possibly haven't seen,
mm-hmm.
but if you've seen it, I still want a reaction out of
right.
it.
Right.
So every now and then, I'll be scrolling through Instagram.
Yeah.
And I'll actually back. I'll like. Whoa! Hold a minute.
Yeah.
And I'll like go. I'll go. Woof. Like I'll actually. Damn. Like stank face.
You know. Yeah. That's a crazy shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that I'll appreciate. Like that is something that has wowed me,
mm-hmm.
and I like that. And I'm hoping I could give that to some people.
Yeah. Well, you definitely do. Obviously, it's working because you're getting noticed by a lot of companies.
I hope.
Yeah.
You know, I want to do enough, you know.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, for sure, you're doing a lot. So like I said, you're being noticed by, you're getting gifted things from Foot Locker Canada. And,
well, yeah. You but know what like, I mean.
But obviously, people are taking notice of what I'm saying because you're.
Yeah. So.
And you get shouted out by, you know, or your pictures get reposted on different major social media outlets.
That's really cool. That's cool. Always cool. The cool thing is also when I notice people who weren't into particular sneakers
mm-hmm.
suddenly are interested.
Right.
Or inquiring
yes.
about particular models.
And your photo did that for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Because it's happened to me, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen people post photos and I'm like, so it is cool.
Yeah.
It is cool to own that photo. And it's turned me in a particular way that it'll be like a sneaker that is maybe not so much on everyone's radar, and one photo from one particular guy will make me go, damn, he made them look really cool.
Yeah.
And now, if ever I wear that shoe, I'll feel as cool as I thought that photo was.
Right.
So that's what I want.
Yeah. Very neat. Yeah, I think my experience or the way I came at it was more of a, it was different in the sense that I was looking for the story behind like whatever sneaker I'm posting. So my photos are obviously just an iPhone, but I was looking for like take the best, almost like good enough photo, and then tell the story behind, because I usually had in the beginning anyway, there's more of a story behind most of my posts. So I was writing this long, huge long captions, which people used to even from people that I was sort of friendly with on Instagram would tell me, you know, no one's gonna read that stuff, you know, beginning.
Yeah. And, too many words.
Too many words. No one's gonna read all that stuff. They wanna see maybe one line, what year it was, whatever. But my stories really was what got me to the Jordan store in Toronto. Like that was people at Jordan Brand actually taking notice and reading the history behind the shoes I had, and that's why I got to the Jordan store. So
okay,
so screw them. Who would have thought that?
So if I can make a correlation between our two methods of posting, the idea is to start a conversation.
Right. Exactly.
So whenever you post a story, like write something out, give some history and all, you're hoping that people feel okay to tell their story.
Yes,
right?
Exactly. I would love to hear it from other people. And that's the other thing I remember specifically thinking when I started this whole Instagram thing, that, and I started like catching on to people like Jumpman Bostic and some of these big players out there. And I remember thinking, you know, if I were ever in the position where there's a lot of people following me,
yes,
I would always want to interact with them.
Yes.
And Jumpman Boss is great with that, but there's a lot of people who have huge followers, a huge number of followers, and you could ask them a question, and like, it's completely ignored. And so I always thought, like, well, if I was ever in the position where I had that many followers, or at least half that, or so, you know, a fraction of that, whatever, or any amount of followers, I'm going to interact with whoever comments or asks me a question. Mm-hmm. And I really, to this day, even with 23,000, almost 23 or 22,000 followers, I reply to anybody who comments on my page.
Yeah.
And I remember when we started the OG support group, and I would answer everybody's questions on the on our pictures, and even one of our former members was like, why are you answering everybody? You don't have to answer everybody. Like, yeah, but this is the whole thing. Is we're connecting, we're educating, we wanna facilitate that kind of atmosphere, that we're helping each other, and you know, it's an OG support group, like, right?
Yes.
So that was a big thing for me was when I started, was that I really wanted to like communicate with people, because I think I've mentioned this before, like I really had no, I felt like I'm really on an island at one point.
Okay.
Like I was fine. Like I love collecting. I love sneakers for me. It's not, I didn't really need anybody else,
mm-hmm.
but once I started seeing there's a community out there and there's other people like me, then it's half the fun is like communicating with like-minded people and sharing experiences, and so that's really what I wanted to do with my page.
So when did you start OG Support Group in terms of how many followers you had on your personal page?
I think when we went public with our page, I had probably 13,000 followers at that point.
Okay, and it was really a collaborative, like, page, right?
Yes.
You and your buddies deciding to, okay, we should do this.
Yeah, cool. The way it started, and I think I've told this briefly before, but I started a small group chat on Instagram of five of us. It was myself, it was iJapino, who's Corey Takahashi, Inzane Kicks, OG or Bust, which is Nick. It was Mr. Spotlight 10, Mr. _ Spotlight 10, who's his name's Dre, and one other person was Seth. Was it Seth? Who is Soul to Soul? Anyway, there were five of us all together, and it was really just a matter of we would like message each other on Instagram, like venting about either the state of the culture or And at one point, I think I said, we really need like a support group for this. We're like each other's support group. So I started this group chat and jokingly called it OG Support Group.
Yeah.
And then we really enjoyed, like we really were sharing a lot of stories. And so at one point, it was actually Corey who said, we should really, Corey was the first, one of the first ones. Anyway, so Corey was the one who said, we can do something with this.
Okay.
I think he said, maybe we can do like a website or... Mm-hmm. And then we said, why don't we just try an Instagram page? We're all here. And so it kind of led from there. And then we added a few members and,
But what was there a particular goal or just...
The goal was to educate, to share our stories and really to take it back to a time when there was meaning behind sneakers. Like, it seems like I think one of the things that frustrated us the most is like, it's just, sneakers are basically a commodity and it's still like that now. Like, especially the younger generation, it's like just... Like it's like a constant revolving door of I'm buying this to take a few pictures, then I'm out the door. So we wanted to bring back that feeling of a bit of nostalgia, and that's there is a meaning behind. It's not just a sneaker. There's a story that they tell.
Okay.
You know, and so to remind people of the history behind those sneakers.
So basically, you tell me if I'm on point or not. You guys would get together, create this page, in hopes of spreading the word that there are others out there that also have a desire to go back to the purity of the whole game.
For sure.
And if other people are of like mind, they would say, hey, I'm not alone. There's this group
of people out
there that do that.
And we do get messages from a lot of younger people too who haven't been around for, maybe they're in their teens or even 20s. But are saying that they love just learning about the history behind the sneakers, because there are people, even the younger generation, who really do appreciate that. I would say they're the minority of those that generation, but But yeah, it's just a, it's a matter of the, to remind people that there, it's, there's a reason why these sneakers are popular today. It comes from somewhere. There's a history behind it.
And do you think, was there like a, was there ever a thought of, well, we're going to do this for like our love of sneakers and for the community? Was it for the community, yeah, right? But was there ever thoughts of, maybe if this gets big enough, we can start getting noticed by brands, or like,
yeah, we had always joked in amongst ourselves, like, imagine, you know, when we're getting our first tour at Nike. Well, that tour hasn't happened yet.
okay.
But it was never a serious, like, it was we always fantasized about it, but it was like, let's just do this. Okay. And we want to stay true to what our intent was just put out content, mm-hmm, that we appreciate.
Okay.
And if people love it, they love it. And if they don't, they can move on.
Okay.
So I want to keep it as genuine, as and pure as possible.
Okay.
Because there was some people would say to us, like, well, you should really look to see what niche thing you could find, or like what would be popular to post right now.
Yeah.
And like, you know, even certain members of the group who are no longer with us would say stuff like that.
Yeah.
Let's look at the data and see what time is a good time to post.
Mm.
And I'd be, you know, my philosophy is, listen, let's just put out good content,
yes,
stuff that speaks to us, and the rest takes care of itself. If it gets us a trip to Nike, if it gets us to wherever, fine. But if not, we're serving a purpose. We're educating, we're telling the history of the, uh-huh, shoes, and there is, and that, I think that's where we saw our niche was that no one was really, really diving into like that aspect of sneakers.
I actually hang out with a bunch of, let's say, OGs,
mm-hmm,
and yes, we rant.
Yeah.
But yes, I don't know of any page that's comprised of only guys ranting. Well, yes, you're not only ranting.
No, we don't rant. On the page, we don't really rant. We just tell our stories. We tell the sneakers, the stories behind the sneakers, whatever it is, we educate. But in behind the scenes,
you were brought together by the rant.
Oh, it's nothing but ranting.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, that's what I did. It's an angle that other people don't have.
Yeah,
so
I will say, when I did get to go to the Jordan Brand store at that event, and when they opened up in Toronto,
mm-hmm,
every person I met from Jordan Brand, it was like, love your page, love the OG support group page. We love what you guys are doing. Keep telling your stories. We love it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it was like, oh, that was like, then I went back to the group and said, listen, guys, they know
they
us.
Like it.
People, like, and they would tell us, well, I was just talking about, we're showing your post at this, you know, in the meeting yesterday at Nike. And I'm like, oh my God, our stuff is being shown at meetings at Nike,
great,
and Jordan Brand. It was crazy. So
that's good.
Still waiting for the invite to the headquarters though.
Oh, okay. Well, that's the thing. You were saying that some of your, some people or some past members were like, we should find our niche thing or find.
Yeah, it was like, look at the analytics of the whole thing and try to post at certain times and what looks, let's look at what's trending.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not pure to me. That's not, let's post what speaks to us. Let's post what we're passionate about. Our passion can bring along a lot of people. Like I, for example, just to give you an example of how it works for me is, obviously, I'm the Mr. Air Jordan 2 guy.
Uh-huh.
Everybody, most people don't like the Jordan 2s, but
yeah.
I guess the way I speak passionately enough about the 2s on my page,
yeah,
and even the stories I tell on the pod, that I constantly get messages from people saying, you inspired me to buy my first pair of 2s. Right?
I mean, I'm contemplating getting a pair of 2s.
I know. You like the texture of the materials. And
I do. And I've noticed that other people that I follow on Instagram all own a pair of 2s.
Yeah.
I'm like,
it's time, Chris.
It's probably something that's been missing from my rotation. Yeah.
I'll hold your hand when you buy your
My only
first
fear
pair.
Is that the people start calling me Scholar 20,
no,
24.
No. 24.
The next Scholar.
That's right, the next Scholar. That's right. I call you Scott anyway. Scott Jr.
Well, so I was getting back to the point where I was like, your niche actually is the essence of your whole page.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
You don't have to find a niche. You are the niche.
I am the niche.
Yeah.
We are the niche.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, this is the niche.
Yeah.
And there really isn't, and like you said, there's nothing really out there that's comparable. And I'm not going to say we had a hand in it.
Uh-huh.
But after our OG support group page came out, about a year later, Jordan Brand started all of a sudden coming back to telling stories. And I started hearing from Jordan Brand saying, We're telling a lot of more stories now. We're getting more back into storytelling.
True,
interesting.
I didn't notice.
You're welcome.
Yeah. My cut's 15%.
That's right.
So, yeah. So, when I think about the way you guys did it, and I'm comparing it to the way I started the Bragg Affair, right? So, there was an instance where, and you mentioned being invited to Nike headquarters and all, where I saw one of my friends get invited as part of an influencer group to go to Jordan's house. Michael Jordan's house.
I saw that. Right? I saw Cousteau
was there. Mr. Foamy Simpson was there. Like there's and Nightwing was there.
Yes, yeah.
So a lot of YouTubers, some guys that do like just have blogs and such, influencers in the sneaker game, they all get invited. I think it was the Jordan 29.
Yes, I think
the
so.
The launch
yes.
of the Jordan You're 29. Right, yeah. They all get invited to Michael Jordan's
house. His house, yes.
Right? With Crazy. The gates, with the 23 yes, on it. Gate, they got invited to his house. At his home, he has a full court basketball.
Yes, yeah.
Court, right? And he has
the trophy room.
Dressing rooms.
Oh, the dressing rooms. Wow.
The dressing rooms. And the dressing rooms are set up like an NBA dressing room, right?
Crazy.
Like where everyone has their little like
locker space kind
locker of locker space with a chair in front of it. So all those influencers had their names on each dressing room. So you had your own spot, and they had tons of Jordan gear, right? The new Jordan 29.
Crazy.
And shorts, jerseys and everything. And they all got invited. They all got to play on his court.
Nuts.
And then there was a food truck that came to bring them lunch, and they so this whole experience was recorded, and people were posting it on their medias and stuff. And I saw my friend be part of this. And I was like, my God,
I want that. Yeah, for sure.
I want to not go to Jordan's house, but I want to do something like that.
That gets you noticed to the point where you're actually being invited to these big
invited
events.
To something where. You have a handler.
Yeah,
you get ushered into rooms. You get the view stuff,
the VIP treatment.
So that was my goal, and I was like, you know what? There isn't a Canadian sneaker blog that was just about sneakers.
Yeah.
So that's why
that's where
we started the Bragg Affair.
Very cool.
And it was, so the whole. It would it benefit the community? Maybe. But the whole reason for me starting it was very personal and very...
For sure.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's... And if I look deep down within myself, I didn't want to just share my stories. There's some level you got to know. If I'm putting it out there on Instagram, I want to get it noticed, right? I mean, sure. But in a million years that I never thought I would be invited to some kind of a Jordan Brand event. Never, maybe. Never.
Yeah.
Like, I sat at 26 followers probably for the better part of a year and a half. And then, like I said, I started this thing with this 28 Days of Jays thing, and then it just kind of snowballed from there. And then next thing I knew was, like, I was getting contacted by someone from Jordan Brand headquarters.
Yeah.
Like, I know you're in Montreal, but can you come to Toronto? I'm like, yeah.
No problem.
For sure.
If your email ends with jordan.com, I'll do whatever you say.
That's right. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, so that was really cool. Yeah.
So... I don't know. How about I ask you this? Do you think, for the listeners,
yes,
if there are people out there that want to get into like sneaker social media, or like, do you think there's still room?
Yeah, of course. There's always, the thing is, like, I'm lucky enough. Like I like you said before, I am the niche. Like, my niche is that I've been around forever, and I've been through like almost every sneaker phase possible, and I've not gone away from it. And so that's kind of my phase, that I have these old pictures and stuff, but are my niche. But I guess it's going to be really tough for someone if they want to start a YouTube channel, or if they want to start something just very similar to anything else that's out there. Like, if you don't have a niche. It is tough. It is tough because I've seen for every big, major YouTube sneaker reviewer who's doing well.
Yeah.
There's 1,000 other ones who are just, you know, talking to 100 people every sneaker review, you know? So, it is pretty crowded out there, I think.
Yeah.
So not to discourage anybody, just I guess like I've said before, is find something that you're passionate about. If you're passionate, even if it's the one sneaker, if you're passionate about that sneaker, and just there's got to be a way to speak it and get it through, like make the listener or the viewer feel that you're passionate about whatever it is mm-hmm. that you're talking
yeah,
about.
I hear that.
So
if
it's not genuine, then it's, yes. that's going to come across.
Yes, and then so this is something I've always said. You can tell anyone that you're. I'm a big deal. Mm-hmm. I'm a big blogger. Mm-hmm. I'm a big YouTuber. Mm-hmm. I'm a big influencer.
Yeah,
and they'll believe you. But then the follow up is you got to back it up.
Exactly.
So if your follow up is fugazi.
Yes.
Then they won't believe you.
Oh, I can think of a few. Or fugazi.
So
yeah, it's true though. It has to be genuine. Yeah. Otherwise, if you get to a point and you realize you're not growing, and it's just you're stagnant for a long time, it's the chances are it's because you're not genuine in what you're doing. You have an ulterior motive, and that people can sniff that out on you.
Yeah. So what if I were to say that I feel like I'm a bit stagnant right now in terms of my creativity.
Mm.
Right now in sneakers, I don't know if it's because I got excited for a lot of things really fast. Mm-hmm. Just recently, like the past few months, to the point where it's numbed me to other stuff, you know?
Yeah, that I'm sure that's happened. That happens. And yeah. I think it comes in waves, and I actually feel I guess I'm coming out of it too, but I was feeling that for a while too. But uh-huh. And it's just because, because I'm telling all these personal stories about my sneaker history.
Yeah.
I only have so many stories, right?
Yeah.
At a certain point, then my page has to evolve into I try different things and I'm trying different posts, but it's not feeling like sometimes I feel like I'm just kind of putting stuff out there because I feel like I have to put something out
yes,
there.
Yes.
And so that doesn't feel good. Mm-hmm. But I think I'm coming out of that now. It was a short-lived kind of phase I was going through, but I think you got to just kind of remind yourself why you're doing it to start with, and just get back to a place of
bring it back to two.
Exactly. Remind yourself why you're passionate about these things.
Huh.
But yeah, so I've been where you're at.
Yeah,
and it's sometimes you feel like oh.
I'm forcing this one.
Yes. Yeah. I hate that feeling.
Yes.
Because there was a long time where I felt like I couldn't wait to post.
Do you get these feelings sometimes that you're like, I need to post something.
Yes.
But I don't know what.
Yes.
And so you're like, this next post is going to feel forced.
Yes.
Regardless of 100%. What it is.
100%. Yeah. I feel that more often nowadays.
Uh-huh.
I shouldn't say that. It's more often than I used to. I used to love posting.
Yeah.
And at this point, there are definitely days where I'm like, I gotta post something. But that's where I've come up. If you follow me on Instagram, I'll do a Monday MJ Mondays thing.
Yes.
I'll do so. I've got days planned out.
Mm-hmm.
MJ Mondays. I've got Tuesday. So I'll do stuff around the twos. Wings logo Wednesday, which I started. Throwback Thursday, and then anything else. And then I'll do other posts as well as those on those days.
Yeah.
But at least I know I've got an idea for, okay, I can throw a picture of a Wings logo somehow and then come out, have a story behind it. But then other days I'll just have like something that'll inspire me and I'll go, okay, now all of that, I haven't talked about that. So I can post something about that or a story or even just seeing a new colorway or something will pop up. So,
you must know how some title posts will perform.
Yes.
Based on your past of posting specific ways,
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And when that happens, do you feel like, you know, well, this I know this post is going to do well,
mm-hmm.
but I don't feel like posting like this right now.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. There's definitely certain series of posts I've done where I know it's going to do, it almost feels like cheating after a while.
Okay, yes.
And I'll post it and just maybe I need a little bit of bump and uh-huh. it'll get the bump. But there's also other times where I'm thinking, oh, this post is going to be crap. This is not going to do anything. And it'll be one of my most successful posts. Sometimes you just can't even tell. So in you ever experience that? Like, you think, I'm not really happy with this picture, but I'll put it up there anyway because I got to put something up. And then it's like, oh.
I have some photos in my phone library.
Yes.
That have been sitting there for, I could say, months.
I've had photos for years.
And they're just not good enough.
Yeah.
Right? But I kind of feel like there's something there. I just don't know what it is. I'll even re-edit some that I've taken months ago and see if I can find what it is.
Right.
What will happen with those posts is they'll spend a lot of time in my library until one day I'm like, you know what? It's okay for me to post it. Like, I'll give myself a pass.
Right.
And I've actually talked about this with Calby about photos. Because what we'll do sometimes is I'll send him my photo and I'll say, which version do you prefer? Version 1 or version 2?
Yeah.
Do you prefer this format or this format? Right. And then he'll comment or he'll send me and I'll say which one's I like. And we both were in agreement that, you know, Instagram, you know how it is. It's a square photo, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you also have like wide angle, like or portrait, right? Yes. And we've noticed that feature pages or big blogs prefer square.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And
which
so
is annoying.
Yeah. So we know that
photographer, I'm sure.
We know that posting a square would give us more opportunities to be featured.
Right.
But parts of us feel that the photo looks better in another format. Right.
Right.
So we're always, I told them, look, I relate this to, I don't know, do you ever watch Entourage?
Yeah, of course.
So, yeah. You know how Vinny Chase, the main actor in the show, the main character in the show, wants to do particular types of movies?
Yes.
But he's signed to a studio, so he has to do studio movies.
Aquaman. Or
yeah. So the idea, he was told by Ari, to look, you do one for the studio, then you do one for yourself.
That's right.
Right? So we do that. We're like, okay, I'm going to post a square for the people.
Yeah, and the blogs. And the
and then I will do one for myself.
Oh, that's great.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So sometimes if you see me posting twice or three times or like a lot of photos in a row, it's because one of them, I'm like, this one needs backup.
Yes, yeah.
I need to, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, that's why when I had, like I said, I have these kind of set posts ideas for posts for each day. I'll throw them, I can't just put that today. I have to put something, at least another post or two up. So it gives me like the day to think about it.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah.
Wait, so you post to hold the people off, right?
That's right.
Hold them at the gate.
That's right. Hold on, people. Yeah. Something else is going to come
up
this afternoon.
Until you can muster up what you
want.
That's
right.
Yeah,
right.
Okay, I get it.
Yeah, cool. It also gets me, it puts me in a mindset of, I can't just post that today. Like it puts the kind of almost pressure on, not really pressure, but pressure on myself to go, I'm not just going to put like a picture of Michael Jordan up for a few months. I have to put something else. And then my mind will start, okay, what can I do? And then I have a bunch of photos also in my camera roll on my phone. And I'll scroll back and I'll go, even if it's not a photo of what I'm going to use for my camera roll, it's like it'll give me it'll inspire me to think of something else I want to do.
Yes.
Yeah. So you got to look all over the place for inspiration.
Totally. I have to say, there's a photo of your Mellow 2s that you posted recently, side by side.
Yeah.
I think, and I really like that shot.
Oh, thank you.
And it may be like, I'm going to use that angle soon.
Oh, cool.
So what I'll do is I'll take a mental note.
Yeah.
And I'll say, down the line, I'll
very nice.
Thief your idea.
I love it. Oh my god, that's an honor coming from someone who takes photography so seriously.
Yeah, sneaky photography.
That's right.
And
yeah.
So, I don't know. Do you have any things? Something you can say to anyone that has aspirations to start something?
I'm going to sound like I'm beating a dead horse, but really it's for me, what's worked is just finding something that I was passionate about.
Yeah.
So if you figure out what you're passionate about, whether it's Yeezys, Jordans, New Balance, Puma, whatever it is, if there's a sneaker you love, just talk about that in a way that you would like.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like talk about it in a way that you would want people to know how you feel about it.
Yes.
And just be genuine, because it's like I said, we were saying before, it's so obvious when people are just posting or YouTubing for the sake of trying to get to a Nike event or trying to get seated or it's very obvious. So yeah, for me, it's just you got to find something that you're passionate about and try to filter that through somehow.
Yeah.
Whether it's your Instagram feed or your YouTube channel or whatever, it's your blog. But what about you? Is that is there something that you could tell? Because you have a pretty successful blog, and you have
I have a how do I say? It's not a it's like a motivational mm-hmm. type. It's not a speech.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a talk that I will have with some people if they give me time.
Yeah.
Like people that want to start something. I've had this conversation with a few people in the past, and it's all about you really have to believe that you have a chance
mm-hmm.
to do something with it,
right? Yeah.
If you don't believe that, right, if you're just going through emotions, it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
You really have to know what you want
mm-hmm.
and just go at it. And believe that it can happen. Because I've had conversations with people asking them, do you think, is YouTube your thing? And they're like, yeah. Or they would say no. And a year later, YouTube became their thing.
Right.
Or YouTube is my thing. And a year later, and they're working for a brand right now.
Right, right, right.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's all because they, at one point, it wasn't in, no one's ever asked them.
Mm-hmm.
Is this what you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you think you can do it? Is this what you want to do? And do you know what path you can take to get there?
Yeah.
And no one has ever asked them, or no one has ever told them it can happen.
Mm-hmm.
It can totally happen.
Yeah.
And I'm surrounded by people that have made it happen.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
So I know people now that work for brands, whether it's a brand or a store, they've done it. They're mm-hmm. in that vein. Or people that have taken something very small and built it up into something huge, where they get get mentioned in like brand meetings.
Right,
you
right,
know?
Right.
Like they know about these your page. They know about like what you do.
Yeah.
And because of that, if you know that it can happen and that you know that people have done it,
mm-hmm.
I think it makes your path a bit easier.
Yeah, I think that your confidence in what you do is a huge thing, because even though I said before that I not in a million years did I ever think I would be actually be invited to a Jordan Brand event, mm-hmm. on some level I knew what I was offering was I was confident in what I was the content I was offering.
Yeah.
I knew there was something to it.
Yeah.
But you also have to. I mean, I'm not saying for Instagram, but it is a lot of work for Instagram too. But in terms of YouTubers and bloggers, there's a lot of work involved. I mean, that's the other thing too, is you have to put the work in, because
you have to.
If you look at our friend Sneaker Talk,
Christian,
he works his ass off. He's nonstop working.
He's constantly working.
He's nonstop working.
Yeah.
So it's not like, oh yeah, you can do it. For sure, you have to have that confidence.
Yeah.
But if you're not willing to put that work in to back up your confidence,
mm-hmm.
you can't be like, I'm confident what I do, and then they should be coming to me regardless of whether how much work I put in. You got to put the work in too.
You have to put the work in, and I think you have to not be afraid to, if you have an idea, to put it in motion and to just execute it.
Yeah.
I'm bringing it down to like one particular example, but it's like, I got a pair of sneakers from Foot Locker, and it was during Christmas, and the theme was Christmas theme, and I was like, this is the holidays, where am I going to shoot this? It's winter, and but I need to make this special.
Right.
And I actually, I stood in line at the mall to see Santa Claus, to have him hold a shoe while I took a photo of him.
That's great.
I didn't have a kid with me.
Great and creepy at the same time.
Yes. So, but part of me didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
Mainly because of, there's no kid with
me. Sure, yeah. How it would look and
I might get shut down. Mm-hmm. But part of me said, if I want to do this thing,
mm-hmm.
I have to do
this. You have to do it, yeah.
I have to do what others would not do.
Yeah.
Not in a, like, break the law type of way, but in a...
And step outside of your own comfort zone, and so even though you know... Because you know the end result will be something valuable.
If I hit it...
If you hit it, it's worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or at least... I've put myself through it. Mm-hmm. I've pushed myself through it. That past this, I'm not afraid to do anything else.
Right, right, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I think that's enough of just the two of us. That's right. But this is cool because actually I didn't... I asked some questions that I wanted to ask you, but I didn't get through, like, everything.
Yeah.
I think we went through maybe... halfway through our stories or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But there's more to come, I guess.
I still don't know. I want one thing before we go. How are you the Space Jam guy? How did that happen? Because you were Mr. Space Jam.
Yeah, it's just the numbers game.
It's an okay.
I just had so many.
No, but why? This is what is your favorite shoe of all time, or is you just love?
Yeah,
yeah. And so, how did that come about? Like, how did that become your shoe?
Because when I found my first pair, it was on eBay, and it was for the sole purpose of wearing them while I played, to look cool while I played.
Right, right.
And once I got them, looking at the shoe made me feel so happy to know that this is what I'll look like on the court.
Yeah.
Right? And I actually wore them to play, and I felt great, and I felt special when I was playing. I, like I said in one of my past posts, I felt handsome on the court.
Right, yeah.
It's a line from He Got Game.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And because of that, whenever I saw more pairs, like after the 2009 release, I started hunting more pairs, and then I... Back in the day, Soul Collector had sellers that were selling the 2000 version.
Right.
And they weren't that expensive. Yeah. So I just kept buying
more and more.
And it just became a thing. Once you had a certain number, you were like, well, I got to get one more.
That's right. So you're just trying to tell me I need a fourth tinker.
I'm not telling you because it's a competition.
It's a competition.
But yeah.
No, that's very cool. But then see, that what you just said is the essence of the OG support group.
Yeah.
Like, that is what we're all about.
Uh-huh.
Like, there's meaning behind why it came from somewhere. It's not just because I thought that was cool, and then you got them, and then you got rid of them, you know, a month later or something, you know?
No, yeah.
Like, that's, there's a special meaning behind it. That's what I love to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that.
Oh, thanks for listening. And thanks to everyone for tuning in. I kind of want to apologize for last episode's audio.
Again, but we were trying something
new.
I think the microphone was meant for one person talking.
We will figure it out.
Yeah.
We will make it better.
Yeah.
And of course, next episode, Mikey's going to be back.
Yeah,
so
that's all taken care of.
Hopefully next episode, everyone will be here.
Yeah.
Because I think we have a cool theme that we want to get into. But until then... this has been the Sneaker Podcast, Season 3, Episode 24. You can follow our buddies, Chloe, on Instagram, at Clarel, Alex, at Suji Cyphersons, Mike, at On Air with Mike D, Sean, where can people find you?
At Scholar23 and at OG Support Group. And Chris, where do they find you?
You can find me at Christopher.Chu. You can find the podcast at The Sneaker Podcast on IG, at The Sneaker Pod on Twitter. And thanks for tuning in. Until next time, peace.
Peace.